Fred, thank you for being a part of the show. How are you?
Hi, John. How are you? I'm doing great. It's good to talk to you.
It's my pleasure. I read off a list of your credentials, and I said I'm glad he's not on the line yet because he'd probably be embarrassed by all of them.
Well, I hope you brush the dust off of them. But it's been a while. But yeah, those were fun days.
Well, and obviously, not only have you been a great champion in the game, but you've served the game, and I think that says as much as anything. Do you realize you are the last U.S. amateur champion that did not turn pro?
You know, I have heard and read that over the years, and you know, with the way the PGA Tour has grown and professional golf around the world, I imagine that distinction will stay in place for a while. But you know, just there, you know, things were different in the mid '70s, and I was halfway through law school and when I won the amateur, and so I needed to finish that up, and it just, you know, my career path just took a little different direction.
Any regrets? Any thoughts of maybe I could have? Or
no,
you...
I really haven't looked back because I've been so fortunate in the way things have happened over the last 30 years, John, and I've got to, you know, to pursue a legal career and stay active in golf. And so in my view, I've had the best of both worlds.
Well, and I'm interested in talking about the years as the president of the USGA, because there haven't been very many to start with. And it seems like, at least right now, the USGA is in great transition in terms of mostly their public perception. It seems like they're appealing to a younger group of folks and understanding that not only keeping the game and the rules of the game, but growing the game has become a big part of what they're doing. Am I reading that correctly, Fred?
Well, no, I think you are. You know, there's a dynamic group of executives who are now in charge of the USGA. You know, many who have been in the organization for some time, but some that are relatively new. But Mike Davis, who took over a year or so ago as executive director, is just doing a terrific job. And you know, Mike has the background of just about all aspects of running major championships, both the operational side and the competition side. And along with Glenn Nager, who's the current president of the USGA, who they make a great team. And I think that they both recognize that the health of the game is really paramount right now, and that the USGA needs to be more proactive in working with other organizations to really look at what needs to be done for the next 25, 30 years in golf. And that doesn't have to be inconsistent with, you know, preserving the, you know, kind of the traditional values that the USGA has been known for. But I think it's a little more of a progressive attitude, and one I think that's going to really be good for the game.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love what they're doing, and I think that this championship we have coming up next week may raise an eyebrow or two, because I think they have the perfect golf course to get back to even par, having a really good chance to win the golf tournament. And I think that's going to be – I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, Olympic's a very difficult golf course. I don't know exactly what the yardage is going to be. I'm sure it'll be longer than the last time that the U.S. Open was there, but I believe that was 1998. But it'll be a great test. I talked to several friends who played in the Boys and Girls Club tournament, which was out there a couple of weeks ago, and they were surprised how short the rough was. Now it'll obviously grow some, you know, since then. But I think I would not be surprised to see it a little bit lower than traditionally in championships, because I know that's Mike Davis's philosophy. You know, he likes to challenge the players and give them a chance to recover. But I think it's going to be a very difficult test. I wouldn't be surprised to see something around even par win.
Our guest is Fred Ridley, 75 amateur champion, but has done so much more in the game, including captaining. You were a Walker Cup participant, but then you captained the team in 87 and 89. For most of us in the world of golf, The Walker Cup is something cool that we talk about every few years, but to those who have participated in it, It seems to be a life-changing experience. What can you tell us about being the captain and what you enjoyed about that process?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk now about golf in the Olympics, and I think that's great for the game. But, up until that happened, really, you know, playing in the Walker Cup was, you know, for American amateurs, was really as close to the Olympics as we have. And, you know, and it's a great tradition with, you know, playing against your fellow competitors from Great Britain and Ireland. And while, you know, in the early days, the U.S. really dominated that match, it's, you know, I think like golf generally throughout the world, there's a lot of parity now, and the U.K. side really has gained a lot of ground. But it was a terrific experience, both playing back in 1977 and playing against people like Sandy Lyle and who went on to win the Masters and the British Open. And then in 87 and 89, I captained some really great players like Phil Mickelson and Billy Mayfair and Billy Andrade, and just some guys that really went on to do some great things in golf. So it's something I look back on with a lot of great memories.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, those guys who got to play, when they talk about it, they almost get misty-eyed. You know, even the young players. And so many of the young Walker Cuppers are coming on to the PGA Tour now, and certainly the team that Ricky Fowler played on a couple of years ago was as good as we've seen. I'm going to take you back even farther, if you don't mind, because I mentioned before you came on, in the amateur in 75, you beat Andy Bean, you beat Curtis Strange, and you beat Keith Fergus. I played with all three of those guys. Andy Bean's as intimidating as anybody I've ever met. Curtis Strange is as tough a competitor as has ever lived. What do you remember about those matches? I'm sure that you're still friends with these guys, but what do you remember about playing them in the tournament?
Well, you know, clearly, you know, I was the underdog in all three of those matches. But I had, you know, I had butted heads with them before, and you know, Andy, because I grew up with him playing junior golf, and when, you know, after his family moved from Jekyll Island, Georgia to Lakeland, and then when he was at the University of Florida when I was, and you know, I mean, you know, I was not, you know, on a day-to-day basis in his caliber, but I had been playing some pretty good golf throughout that summer, and had actually played Curtis in one of the early rounds of the Western Amateur after we'd made the Sweet 16. But I think I probably maybe caught Curtis and Andy a little bit by surprise, and they didn't clearly have their best days, and I had two pretty good days. But so I think I was fortunate to get by them, and then you know, I just was clearly not favored to beat Keith in the finals. But I got off to a really fast start and had a very good morning round. It was 69 in the morning, and Keith didn't play particularly well, so I got so far ahead of him that even I think I was six up after the first hole in the afternoon, and really, despite the serious you know, choking that took place later on that round, I had a big enough lead to where even I couldn't lose it. So, you know, those were three great players, and looking back, it is pretty hard to believe that I snuck by all three of them. But you have to get a little bit lucky in match play.
Well, yeah. Do you think there should be more match play?
Well, you know, I think it's it's an exciting, enjoyable way to play. You know, there was a lot written after I won the amateur, because, you know, to many it was sort of an unexpected thing. Although, you know, if you sort of look back on that summer and you know, there was a lot of evidence leading up to the fact, you know, that I was playing well enough to win, but clearly was not one of the favorites. But, you know,
yeah, I can't hear Fred.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I apologize, Fred. I lost you there for a second.
No problem.
I tell you what, it's been great to catch up. I don't know where you were in that. They hit the button and they cut me off for a moment there.
Oh, that's okay. No, I was just sort of finished up talking about the final against Fergus, and you were asking me about match play, and I think it's a terrific way terrific, exciting format. You know, I think there's probably about the right amount of it. The guys on the tour don't play too much, although they do seem to enjoy the match play tournament they play every year. But it's just exciting for the fans to watch. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. What's next on your agenda? Do you travel much with the golf clubs and with all your duties now inside the game?
Well, you know, I've been very fortunate in that I've, you know, not only, you know, played over the years and not much competitively anymore, but, you know, I've also been involved in the administration, as you mentioned, and my professional life sort of kind of segues into that area as well with our real estate and hospitality practice. So I do quite a bit of traveling. Don't really have any intention in playing any big tournaments. I did try to play in the USGA Senior Amateur last year and had one good round, one not so good round. But I don't play competitively too much anymore, but certainly enjoy getting out and playing anytime I can.
Now, I would think raising three daughters, that would probably be a handful.
Well, it has been. It's hard to believe.
Do you at least have a male dog?
Actually, we do. That's the only male. That's the only male in the family. But they all play golf, not on a regular basis, but they learned to play when they were young, and it'll be something they can carry throughout their life. And that's the great thing about the game is you really don't have to be competitive to enjoy it and to really get the benefits from it. And they all have that background, and certainly they know a lot about golf. You know, having been brought up in my family, but they've enjoyed it over the years as well.
Well, Fred, we certainly do appreciate the time. And we'd like to have you back on sometime soon to dig a little deeper, if you don't mind.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. It's good to catch up with you, John.
My pleasure. That is Fred Ridley, who has meant more to the game than I think most of our listeners will ever know.